So we have almost reached the end of the season of Lent, which means, at least in theory, that we are almost ready to embark with Jesus on the difficult journey of Holy Week that will lead him and us once again to the cross. And today, in preparation, we are given this powerful story of grief and death, of faith and life. The story of Lazarus' resurrection only appears in the gospel according to John, where it is the event that finally convinces the religious leadership once and for all that Jesus needs to be dealt with. The tensions have been building for a while, as has the crowd that is beginning to follow Jesus. Between the healing of the man born blind, which we heard about last week, and Lazarus' resurrection, Jesus and his disciples had to flee to escape stoning in Jerusalem, having enraged people with his claims of unity with God and his identity as God's son. And so when Jesus decides to go to Bethany, just outside of Jerusalem itself, his disciples are very reasonably worried. Thomas is not just being dramatic when he says, "Well, let's go with him so that we may die with him." Jesus' death is already foreseeable. And raising Lazarus is Jesus' last and most dramatic declaration of who he is and of what that means before he gives himself up to the cross. But Lazarus' death is not simply an object lesson. Certainly not to his sisters, who are heartbroken at his loss and angry with Jesus for his absence. And when it comes right down to it, it's not simply an object lesson even for Jesus. Faced with the grief of those he loved, faced with the tomb of his dear friend, even with the sure knowledge of Lazarus's coming resurrection, Jesus wept. Death is always costly. And no resurrection, not the resurrection on the last day that Martha so bravely hopes for, not the resurrection into eternal life for those who believe in Jesus, not even the bodily resurrection of Lazarus a mere 4 days after his death, no resurrection entirely removes the costliness of death. And so Jesus wept, as Mary and Martha wept, as we weep when confronted with death, even though we believe. For Christian hope is not found in the denial of death, in making death cheap. Rather, Christian hope is found in the belief that Jesus weeps with us, that our tears are holy in God's sight. Christian faith is found in being willing to take away the stone even though there will be a stench. Christian hope is found in the willingness to face death in all its costliness, because we trust in the promise of the resurrection, and because we know that resurrection is impossible without death. Now, this does not mean that every death is good, or even that every death is necessary in the time that it happens. The thousands and thousands of people who have died and continue to die due to opioid overdoses should not be dead. the thousands and thousands of people killed in war, in Ukraine, in Syria, in Ethiopia, should not be dead. Victims of gender or race-based violence should not be dead. But even in such unjust and unholy circumstances, Christian hope trusts that God is present. God is present with those who are weeping, with those who are angry, with those who are frightened, and that the promise of the resurrection holds firm. Not a Lazarus-style waking from the tomb, but the promise that Jesus, who is the resurrection, who is life, can bring life even from death. Those who have died are not lost, though they are out of our reach. Those who are in mourning are not lost, though they might feel like it sometimes to themselves. The broken world that creates such tragedy is not lost, though it can be hard to believe that sometimes. Christian hope believes that life can emerge from the tomb. And we see this time and time again, as people who suffer in the face of death find ways to make their suffering meaningful. Taking on political campaigns, sharing their hard-earned wisdom, seeking new ways of being in the world, learning and revealing new depths of forgiveness and strength. We see it in the ongoing work of peacemaking, in lives transformed, in relationships renewed or discovered. And none of this life erases the death. None of it makes the death worth it. I am confident that not one parent would be willing to trade the life of their child for better gun control laws. But it does bring life where once there was none. There are, of course, other kinds of deaths, deaths which are necessary, deaths for which the resurrection is worth it. There are literal deaths of people whose lives have been full and who are ready to discover what the promise of resurrection means after they die. People who witness to us peace in their last days. There are deaths of people who have already been lost to dementia, to deep physical suffering, and for whom death can be received as a gift. Christian hope reminds us that death, though costly, need not be feared. And sometimes can be welcomed. And then there are metaphorical deaths as well, the death of a dream, the death of a relationship, the death of a particular sense of who you are in the world, the death of a well-loved prejudice, or of a very, very comfortable lie. Such deaths are also costly, taking an emotional and psychological and sometimes even physical toll. And some of these are obviously good deaths, with the promised resurrection already visible on the other side. Some of them are not so obviously good deaths, and the resurrection might be slower to come or harder to see, and there might be a stench before it arrives. But the resurrection will come. Christian hope reminds us that the stone can still be rolled away. There are no timelines on the resurrection. Jesus still calls us forth to be unbound and set free into life. But the death has to come first. And so on this last Sunday of Lent, I offer you a question. What needs to die so that you might have life? What are you being called to bring to the cross so that you might know the miracle of the resurrection? I invite you into a few minutes of quiet now to bring this question to God and to prepare yourself to carry it with you during this last week of Lent and into Holy Week so that you might hear God's answer. What needs to die that I might have life?